Well, this morning we are in Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 10, as we continue the series on home improvement. And this morning we're looking at Open the Door, and the passage is the one where Abraham and Sarah have waited a long time for a child, and the promise is yet to be fulfilled. And then one day they open their door to three strangers. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of finest flour, knead it, and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we have been in this series on home improvement, and we started with looking at the foundation and saying, is your foundation storm ready? And said that the only really true foundation that will weather the storms of time is to have your life built on Christ as the solid foundation. And then from there, we looked at the dining room and asked, guess who's coming to dinner, as we sort of broaden our idea of who might be invited to the banquet table of Christ. And then we looked at walls and talked about healthy boundaries as kind of walls in our life for our relationships and for our faith. And then we talked about opening the windows, and today we're looking at opening the door. And it's interesting because a week ago, we had our trunk or treat. This has become a tradition here at Emmanuel. And the last couple years, it's been too rainy and cold for us to have this outside. And so we were really blessed by the weather that we were able to have it outside, because really it's the only way we could do it during the pandemic to make it socially distanced and socially responsible and safe. And so the great thing, like years past, is we welcomed the whole neighborhood. And my daughter and other youth, they worked on making a Jeep into a Pac-Man game. And I saw some of the other things that were going on. It just, people poured a lot of creativity into it. And it's interesting because we welcome folks who were looking for a place they could celebrate Halloween, because it's such a fun holiday, particularly for the kids. And we saw kids and adults dressed up in all kinds of ways. So there were the princesses, which was always my favorite. And then there were sort of the ghoulish ones, and there were kind of like the scarecrows, which decorate the trail around here, and all kinds of masks. And we were able to just welcome people in. And it's interesting because I was reflecting again on a thought that I had heard from someone else, was that Halloween is really a very sacred time. And it's sort of an odd thing to say, but the reflection on that is Halloween is the only time of year where we practice sort of a radical hospitality, right? And think about it for a moment. I mean, we open our doors to people that we've never met before, and they're in scary costumes oftentimes, and we give them a treat. Any other time of the year, we'd slam the door in their face. Someone once said, it's only one sunrise that separates a beggar from a stranger we give a treat. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Because if you're like me, I enjoy giving out treats to people with all kinds of different costumes. It doesn't matter. But in that moment, we sort of catch a glimpse of kind of a radical hospitality that the Bible sometimes challenges us to. And I invite you with that thought in mind to walk back into the story this morning, because it's a classic passage where Abraham and Sarah are up in years. Abraham is pushing 99. Sarah is about a decade behind him at 89. Long ago, God has promised them that they will one day have a son, and that son will be a blessing to them, but that son will also become a nation and bless all people in all places. And they are fatigued over waiting for this promise. And one day, Abraham looks up and he sees three strangers. Now, these are not people that just dropped off in a minivan that are, you know, air conditioning and clean and all that. These are strangers that have walked for miles and miles in the hot, dusty desert sun and need some refreshment. And so they probably looked a little scary in addition to being strangers. But Abraham extends hospitality to them. He asks them if he could give them water and some bread, and they prepare a great feast for them. And after they have finished most of the meal, one of the strangers says, "By the way, Sarah, your wife, will have a baby this time next year." And that had to be a moment of hope that came into their life. They were willing to take that risk. And by the way, during this time in this culture, hospitality was sort of a law throughout the ancient Near East, and you see that in many places today. But I think in our own lives, as we look back into this passage today, we might say, well, that's way back when, and I don't have a tent, and you know, people have McDonald's to stop by. But I think in a very real sense, the tent is our life and our faith. And the question that comes to us today, and I know it's a difficult time to think about that because we're kind of all at home, but in many ways we can open our lives. But the question is, are we opening our door to people other than ourselves? People other than our own beliefs, theologically or politically or culture-wise, language-wise, how are we doing it? Open up the doors of our life. And also, how are we doing in our church about opening the doors to folks other than ourselves? I think it's an important question. And I think when we open the door to others, we often open the door in our own lives to blessing. Think about it for a moment. Abraham and Sarah, who've, you know, decades have passed since this original promise, they've pretty much given up on that hope. They're just sort of clinging to it barely. And they are encouraged in that moment. And the fact of the matter is, less than a year later, they were blessed by a baby boy, a boy they would name Isaac, which means laughter. It's as if joy came back to their heart and their life. God's promise was somehow fulfilled in that moment. And even though it may not have been dependent on those strangers appearing at their door, surely their faith and their hope was encouraged by that word of hope by a stranger. I think of other times in Scripture where people's hope and life was blessed by the words of a stranger. I don't know if you recall the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. And Elijah was told in the middle of this famine where food was extremely scarce, and Elijah had his moment where God was preparing sort of a daily meal for him. But then God told Elijah to go to this town of Zarephath, and there he would find a widow, and he was to ask her for bread and something to drink. And so Elijah goes to this town, sees this stranger, he's never seen her before, and asks her for a meal. And she turns to the prophet Elijah and says, "Listen, I'm out here collecting sticks to make a fire, and my son and I are down to our last bits of flour and oil, and I'm going to make the last bit of bread that we have, and then we're going to basically give up." And Elijah says to her, "If you will bake the bread and share it with me, then I guarantee that your flour and oil will never run out." And that's exactly what happened. In her faith to open her door of her home and her table to a stranger, she was blessed, and the blessing lasted throughout the pandemic, or excuse me, throughout the famine, and longer. And I think of other cases too. Obviously, not long ago, we talked about Jesus on the road to Emmaus, two people were walking along the road to Emmaus, and all of a sudden a stranger appeared in their midst, and they didn't recognize that it was Jesus, and so the Lord actually shared with them all kinds of hope, and then they stopped by this inn and invited the stranger, who was Jesus, to sit down with them, and as they began to break the bread, Jesus revealed himself to them and then disappeared from their sight. In welcoming that stranger into their midst, they were actually welcoming Jesus. Now, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, the writer encourages us to not neglect to practice hospitality. And it says, "For in not knowing, some of you have actually entertained angels unaware." Now, I don't know what your policy is as a stranger. We want everyone to stay safe. And I know right now you certainly don't want to invite a stranger into your car. perhaps not into your home, but there's other ways that we can open our hearts and lives to those other than ourselves. And I think of our church, we really need to become more and more welcoming to those other than ourselves. And we think of those that we're welcoming right now up on this altar, these young babies. That's so easy to do, isn't it? But also, people, let's be honest right now, as our country welcomes in a new president, and we have some political divisions among all of us, is to welcome those other than our own political beliefs. Welcome those other than our own nationality. And in so doing, we show God's grace and love to people in a way that goes beyond our own self. Who can you open your life to today? If it's not the door of your home, then somehow to open the door of hospitality in some other way. Someday the pandemic will be open. You can open the door of your life to someone in actually your home. But right now there's so many ways that we can open our hearts and lives, and the church needs to do that in ever greater ways. I want to think about a story that I really enjoy, which is the story of this monastery that had been through its heyday, and it had been a thriving monastery at one time, still had a large campus, beautiful sanctuary, and people at one time used to come from all over and walk the grounds and attend the services and do all kinds of great retreats there. And over the years, it had gradually dwindled down to only 4 monks and 1 abbot. And people no longer came on the grounds, and people no longer attended the services or did retreats there. And one day at lunch, everyone was so discouraged, they talked to the abbot and said, listen, we just don't know what to do. We don't have any young novitiates, and we're all over the age of 70, and we're very discouraged. And the abbot said, listen, I think what I'll do is I'm going to go into town, I'm going to have coffee with the rabbi, and we'll just see what he has to say. And so the abbot goes into the village, and he sits down with the rabbi, and the rabbi says, how are things going? He says, well, not well, frankly. The monastery is just down to nothing. People don't visit us any longer, and there's no sense of joy anymore. And so the rabbi says, well, let me open the Torah. And so he opens the Hebrew Scriptures, and it lands on this very story of Abraham and Sarah and them welcoming strangers and the promise of the baby being renewed. And the rabbi says, well, it reminds me that the legend from the rabbinic tradition is the Messiah will come as a stranger. And the abbot thinks about that, and he says, the Messiah coming as a stranger, that's really interesting. And so he goes back to the monastery, and all the monks gather around the table, and they say, well, what did the rabbi had to say? He said, well, he didn't really have the answer, but he said that the Messiah will come as a stranger. And they all begin to think about that. And as they thought about that, they said, well, listen, let's look for strangers in our midst. And so over the next weeks and months, when they'd see someone on the grounds, why they would welcome them and say a joyful hello, they'd offer a prayer for them. And they would invite them to services and sometimes even to a dinner. And over the months, more and more people were having picnics on the grounds and enjoying it. And they would see young couples, and they would see sort of older folks who'd been there in the day. And then over a year, suddenly it began to change. And a year from then, the abbot went into town and had coffee again with the rabbi. And the rabbi said, well, how are things going at the monastery? And the abbot said, well, you're never going to believe it. It's such a change. We now see people in our services, and we have some retreats scheduled. We see people walking our grounds and having picnics, and we even have some new young novitiates that are going to be sworn in as monks. Things have changed, and I think it's because we're looking for Messiah as stranger. You and I might find the door to blessing if we just open it to a stranger, someone other than ourselves. Maybe we know them, but they're just different. And in so doing, we might open the door to blessings that we never realized before. I want to close with a final true story, and it's a story that I love. William Willimon, who is a Methodist pastor and a former bishop, used to teach at Duke Divinity School. And he shared that when he was very young in his career, he was in his late 20s, I believe, in the Carolinas, and he was in a very small rural church. And he went to a meeting one night, and it was a church meeting, and it didn't go well. There was some bickering among people, and you know, there's no fight like a church fight. And so people were upset, and it was a long meeting, and at the end of it, nothing was really accomplished. And he was so frustrated by that. And he said, what he'd do is he'd just go outside and he'd just change the church sign, and just something to do before he went home. And so he's out there changing the church sign with those little letters, you know, the old-fashioned kind, and quite discouraged. And it was at night, and this stranger comes walking up in jeans and sort of a tattered flannel shirt. And the stranger says, how are you doing? And Will Willimon says, "Well, how are you doing?" And the stranger says, "Well, are you the pastor of this church?" And Will said, "Yes, I'm the pastor." And the stranger said, "Well, I just want you to know that you're doing a great job." And William Willimon said, "Well, you know, I really needed to hear that just this evening because things haven't been going all that well." And he said, "By the way, what's your name?" And the stranger said, "My name is Jesus." And he walked off. And Willimon said, "I just can't believe it." He was so frustrated. He said, "I'm just going to go home." So he went home and he walks into the door to his house. And his wife says, "Well, how are things going?" And he said, "Well, it was awful." He said, "We just had the, you know, a church meeting didn't go well. We didn't accomplish anything. And there was some bickering and fussing." And then I was out changing the church sign. And this stranger comes along and he tells me I'm doing a good job, which I really needed to hear that night in particular. And then I asked him his name. And he said his name was Jesus. And he walked off. He said, "You know what? I've just had it. I'm going to bed." And so he goes to bed and turns out the light. And a little while later, his wife comes to bed and lays down next to him. And she said, "Will?" And he said, "Yes." And she said, "How do you know that wasn't Jesus?" Amen. You know, in our own lives, there may be times where a stranger comes, and maybe it's Jesus, maybe it isn't, but they might bring the presence of the Lord in ways that you and I might not ever imagine. Even more importantly, perhaps, you and I could be the presence of Christ to someone who doesn't even know the love of God and may be able to change their life in ways we never imagined. So I challenge all of us in this chapter of our life to think about opening the door of our life. And in opening the door of our life, we might open the door to blessings to others, and we might also open the door to blessing to ourselves. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we pray that you'd help us to open the door of our hearts and lives today. We know that you have challenged us to show hospitality to others, others different than ourselves, and sometimes it's a challenge. But we know that you yourself, our Lord, came to show us love. You were the Messiah in our midst as a stranger, and you showed us the great love. And so today we pray that you'd help us to open our hearts and lives to your life-changing love, and that our lives would be so changed that we would be willing to open the door in a welcoming way to others and discover blessings untold. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.